Welcome back to the show where one man is in his 40th year.
Yay.
I wasn't going to get away with this. I never get away with this. Rob wouldn't let me get away with it. The wife wouldn't let me get away with it. My boss called me an arsehole for not telling him it was my 40th birthday. So, yes, it's my 40th birthday. Happy birthday, me.
Happy birthday.
Well, that was yesterday anyway. 23rd of April, good old St. George's Day. Don't get into the whole racist stuff because, no, it's just St. George's Day. Just accept it for what it is. Anyway, that was that. We've got lots on today. Rob, how on earth are you?
I'm very good, thank you, darling. We're in Casa del Rob today.
We are Casa del Rob.
So it is a bit of a mess. It's really hot. Have you noticed how hot it is? I've had the heating going because we had a milk incident.
Oh, no.
And T spilled a whole mug of milk over the sofa.
Oh.
So see this here? So the...
Try to dry it.
So the cover that we put over, like one of the TikTok fleece. If anyone goes on TikTok, you see those really cheap fleeces they put on there. One of those that got washed, and then the cover that goes over the actual pillowcase for the sofa, that's gone in the wash. And because it's not particularly nice weather, I couldn't put it on the line, which is what I normally would do with those. They had to go on rads, so the heating was on, which is why also there's bits of sofa around, and there just happens to be a dead plant next to you too.
Yeah, it's wilted from the heat.
That was for a Mother's Day, Tesco's bulbs. You know, we're selling bulbs.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And they turn into really nice flowers. And then
I used to get something like that at Christmas. Every year, my aunt and uncle that used to live down the road from me on Watford Road in St. Albans, they used to give us a big bar of dairy milk when dairy milk was still dairy milk. And that big, proper, you could only buy it at Christmas sort of thing. And then they'd also give us one of those, what were they? Weren't a chrysanthemum. Honestly, can't think of what they were.
Well, they were hyacinths.
Oh, it was hyacinth. There you go. Perfect. Yeah. That's exactly what it was. And you got a single hyacinth bulb, but you got that funky 80s, 90s glass vase, which you filled up with water, and then the bulb would sit on top.
Yeah.
And you'd get, and we got that every year. And I loved it. It was really nice. But so that's what that was. I love the fact it's still going, that sort of thing.
It's just still there.
It's the fact that they've stuck it in an ice cream pot that interests me.
Well, the funny is because when I got it, he got it for Miranda. They were all still closed and it was all great. And then when I went back 2 weeks later, they were clearly still the exact same plants because they'd all opened up and some of them were dying. So they were clearly just selling the same ones.
I've got to say, Aldi are awful for that. I know Tesco's normally not too bad, but Aldi are the worst ones. And I've seen this at multiple Aldis now. They have their trays and trays of things like pansies and petunias and whatever else they have for kind of gardening when it comes to like the summer and you're going to be doing your flower beds. Welcome to Garden Time with Garden Time with Channel 84.
Yeah, we're here
show.
With us. We have Paul and Eli. Hello, guys.
But yeah, they have that every summer and you go and they're just dead straight away. No one's gone out and watered them. They've left them out in the direct sunlight all day, every day. And it's just like those poor bloody flowers.
Yeah, well, this has got, as you can see just there, a 14-day guarantee. So if I had gone and brought those dead ones, I would get my money back straight
True.
Away. What's the point?
Happy Mother's Day. I'll go and get my money back.
Yeah.
Anyway, we have got a lot to do today. So I'm very going to quickly ask you about this. Now, you said your war with the bugs is back. Now, I'm guessing this has nothing to do with Helldivers 2, finally.
No.
Have you bought more ladybirds?
No, I haven't. But I did make a joke on Discord about Helldivers to the Hell Pods and then put a picture, have you seen it, of all of the aphids all over my rosebush? Yeah. And then I was asking Matt from Pine of Cthulhu, because he works in the garden, he's a gardener.
Oh, okay.
And asking for his help on how the fucking hell I'm supposed to kill these bastard things. Because I constantly cover that garden in pesticides. I'm probably like CFC god of this
You're
road.
To blame for the bees disappearing.
Yeah, they're saying the hole in the ozone layer is opening up again because of me.
Yeah, above Hemel Hempstead.
Yeah, and there was the joke of, I'm sure I said it on this, but it maybe it was on the Three Dads, where I brought 50 ladybirds, do you remember?
Yeah, and most of them flew
and
away.
And nearly all of them flew away, so it was completely pointless.
Fly away, Peter. Fly away, Paul. They didn't come back, though.
Come back, Peter. Paul, come back. I didn't realise it. You know, what is it they say? 30% of statistics are made up on the spot. I did read somewhere, it's some really high amount, like 70% of beetles released will leave where you release them.
Yeah.
It's a really high percentage. So probably some did stay. And the idea was, I was trying to humanely get rid of them. You know, I even do you remember when I had the magpie and the pigeon kept coming to the front garden? That was another.
You made your Vietnamese
attempt.
Congo sort of trap thing.
I did, yeah. I've got those actually in a box out there because I moved that pot to the back. Because those birds, it was meant to attract the birds to then eat the bugs, if you remember. But all I was doing was just fattening up the fucking birds. So then they didn't want to eat the bugs. So I'm back to chemical warfare. Now, what I do have coming tomorrow is beer traps for the slugs and snails.
Nice.
Because I have been lobbing the snails and T keeps telling me off and I keep saying to him, I don't care. So, and I keep saying, because we're growing loads of veg in the back and he sees snails and he's like, don't do it, Daddy. And I'm like, well, T, you know, when your pumpkins, because he's obsessed with pumpkins, they're growing in the greenhouse now. They're nearly ready to put outside.
Awesome.
And I said to him, well, those slugs and snails, they're going to eat your pumpkins. He's like, no, they can't eat my pumpkins. Like, well, they're going to. We need to get rid of them.
You need to make a daddy's son activity. You need to go and buy yourself a catapult. You hold the catapult, T loads it and pulls it back. And you say, let's see how far we can get this snail.
Well, he said to me today, let's launch them to the moon. He said to me, I was like, yes.
Well, I've got an Estes rocket set. Oh, no, actually, that's going to get the RSPCA involved. No, we're not going to stick one to a rocket. Don't worry. We're just going to stick with lobbying.
He's not. I am. Email me at rob@chanley.co.uk. So I was going to make my own beer traps, but I've got dogs.
Waste of beer.
Well, I brought some ale in that cupboard over there. So I hate ale. Dan told me ale would be better.
Apparently. Right.
And I was just going to do it with like, I've got this like big Alpro. Alpro? Is that the yogurt type?
Alpro, yeah.
Alpro yogurts. But I've got two dogs, so I can't have an open pot of booze buried in my garden. Cause so I've had to buy, which is really annoying because I make stuff. I don't buy things. I had to make it. I had to buy these. They were cheap though, at least. Basically, yogurt pots with a lid with gaps in, essentially.
Right, okay.
Someone's obviously 3D printed it. I don't know.
It works, it works.
It's going to work. So I'll pour the beer in it, have a lid. The dogs can't get it. They can't get pissed up. You know, because I was also worried about the cats out the front. We get foxes too. So I was worried about, I don't know what beer is going to do to a fox. And we get a lot of foxes out the front in my garden. So
you could end up with the randiest foxes in the world.
Yeah, they'll be.
We all go around Rob's house for sex and beer.
They dig up the garden and eat the bulbs. I don't know whether eating the bulbs on purpose, but they churn them up when they dig to get all the stuff out of the ground.
Oh, they know something. Bulbs must be hallucinogenic.
I don't know. I don't know.
Nice.
I'm not David Attenborough.
Let's move on, shall we?
Hey, motherfuckers! Stop! No! You don't fucking fight at my show, you asshole. Who's that right there? Let me see him. Who's fighting right now? Who's fighting? Let me see him. It's that fucking guy in the striped shirt right there. Hey, motherfucker, look at you. Hey, look at me. Hey, in the striped shirt. Look at me right here, motherfucker. Look at me. Look at me. Get the fuck out of my show right now. Get the fuck out. Get the fuck out of my show.
If I were to ask you, Rob, what is your favourite band or who is your favourite band? What is? Who is? Also, what is your favourite band?
The one that plays music. Who are they? Foo Fighters.
Okay. You can ask me the same question.
Oh,
be a nice
What is
co-host.
Your favourite band?
Don't have one.
Okay, next.
No, sorry. Genuinely, it's really hard for me to put my finger on it, but I'll go for the one that kind of gave me the idea for this little part. Mm-hmm. Metallica.
Yeah.
Just going to stick with Metallica. But
good choice.
Really, what I want to
Garage.
Just, I want to do. Oh, God. They did have an album called Garage Days. Or Garage Inc., sorry, not Garage Days.
Okay.
It was them covering a load of songs. They did a load of Thin Lizzy songs, Whiskey in the Jar, Tuesday's Gone.
Oh, this is where that other story comes from of yours.
Am
then.
I Evil? The
band, them covering that song.
Yeah,
and
Diamond Head, Am I Evil? Yeah. Brilliant, brilliant album. Really good album. Anyway, how did you discover Foo Fighters? Because this is the thing. I speak to people all the time and say, what's your favourite band and so on. And then I just thought, you know, I never actually ask how they got into them.
Watching Kerrang! With my old man.
So you discovered Foo Fighters through just watching Kerrang!
Yeah.
With your old man?
Yeah.
Nice. What was the first song?
I think it was Learn to Fly. There's
Jack Black and Kyle.
Yeah, there's earlier songs, obviously. But yeah. I just think that was the first one I might have seen. And then I kind of listened to a few, and then you know, because I wasn't really aware of going back and listening. I just went, brought a CD, or I have to sit there and watch Kerrang, or they weren't really on the box, but the box was another one that was always on. Dad would have the box on.
Mm-hmm.
It was a music channel for those
of you
that are
too young to remember. Yes, it was a music channel. We're not using the slang, the box, for the TV.
Well, apparently everyone that listens to this are the same age as us. So here's a do you remember. When it used to be the
Being
shows
the
like
30s,
the box,
yeah.
And it used to have the bit at the bottom that would go across and it'd be people texting in. Do you remember?
Yes.
And that's how you text in to get a song. If you wanted a song up, The Vault was another one. I think The Vault might have been more recent than The Box and stuff.
But that's all become Twitter now, hasn't it, really? It's social media. You send your message on social media and it gets put on the screen. But yeah, no, you're right. Back in the day, you'd get the long message that says, feel free to text us on 63336.
Yeah, £6 or whatever it was.
Yeah.
Ridiculous amount
charged
of money.
At X numbers of pennies per message.
Yeah.
Check with the bill payer before you do this. Ha, ha, ha.
Yeah.
God, no, I remember those days. And if you talk about Foo Fighters now, I think my first song for the Foo Fighters was I Was Enamored with Hero.
Yeah, Hero.
My Hero,
really,
sorry. Love My Hero.
Yeah, just, My Hero's a really good one.
It's just everything about that song is just amazing. And then there's the video. And the video to it's just, again, just genius. Now, I love Learn to Fly Again because it's Jack Black in it, which I still don't know what the relationship with Jack Black and Dave Grohl is. I just
think
they're friends.
Just mates. But Dave Grohl's the drummer for Tenacious D.
Yes.
On that first album of theirs.
And he was Satan in Tribute.
Tribute, yeah.
And, yeah, I just think it's very funny. Kind of Jack Black's kind of just been around for all of these years. And I'm... Later in life, as I've become kind of a fan of the chap, I know I watched School of Rock and just all kind of his early stuff and loved it. And I loved Tenacious D. But then finding things like he was in The Neverending Story 3.
Was he?
Yeah.
I've never
he's
never
the
seen
bully
that.
Kid in it for all of like 5 minutes.
Another Foo Fighters, Everlong is a fantastic
song. Everlong's a great song. But I think for me, it was My Hero was the first song I was really, really loved. And then I bought, well, I didn't buy, sorry, I got for Christmas the best air guitar album in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And that had Monkey Wrench.
Monkey Wrench is brilliant.
And it just, everything Foo Fighters is brilliant. The riffs, how hard they go, everything's just...
Pretender.
Oh, Pretender. Great, great choice of a track.
Yeah.
Absolutely great choice of a track.
We could just start naming Foo Fighters songs and just, all of them are good.
They are all fucking brilliant.
Haven't seen their film yet, though.
Oh, I saw it. I saw it at the cinema.
Is it good?
It's stupid.
Okay.
But I enjoyed it.
Okay.
Stupid, but I enjoyed it. Let's just leave it at that. It's very comedy horror. It's we'll watch it together.
Is it called 666?
I think it was, yeah.
Yeah.
It was odd.
It gave me Guest House Paradiso vibes, but a horror.
Yeah, a little bit.
From the trailer.
A little bit. They had a lot of fun with it, I can tell you that much, because it comes across in it that they're having fun, while it's all meant to be super serious and stupid. But that's fair enough. So Metallica. As I take a drink at the same time as Rob, and I literally had to because I wasn't going to be able to keep talking. My throat was closing up at that point. Metallica's an odd one. So I was at that age where I was still listening to 50s and 60s rock and roll with mum and dad.
Mm-hmm.
If the radio was on, it would be like 70s or 80s music that I was enjoying. So I was never really up with the same level of music that everyone at secondary school was. I mean, they were listening to Garage and... drum and bass, R&B, all of that kind of mid-90s onwards, kind of that era of music.
Yeah.
I wasn't into any of it. Now, one thing I did enjoy doing, and I don't know why mum and dad used to let me, but from the age of 12, what can they do, really? But from the age of 12, I used to, in the evenings, go for a walk around the block if I was bored, nothing else to do at home. We didn't have internet at that point, didn't have a games console. So other than watching kind of the four channels on TV we had, I'd go for a walk. So I had my trusty Walkman that my nan and grandpa had got me for Christmas years before. I used to put a cassette in and I'd go for a nice little walk. And randomly at home, I found this cassette and it was a self-recorded cassette. It had red insulating tape on the spine, and it just said Metallica. Well, I'll give my middle brother listens to this sort of music, so I'll listen to it. And I put it in the Walkman, and it was the worst recorded live concert of Metallica. I would say probably over two-thirds of it was not really recognizable. Yeah. You know, really high gain. Lows were really high, but the highs were non-existent. So it was that kind of really muffled, horrible stuff. But I listened to it. And talk about my story, Am I Evil was on there. Enter Sandman was on there. And, what was the other song? I'm going to have to very quickly look it up. It was a bit of a rude song. Again, came from the Garage Inc. album. And I'm going to kick myself when I see its name. Last Caress. I'm not even going to get to the point of looking up. It was called Last Caress. And that's a song by a British punk band. And it's very rude.
Right.
Very rude.
I don't know it.
And I just couldn't stop pressing stop, rewinding, and listening to those three songs. And something grabbed me. So I spoke to my middle brother and he's, oh, that's my oldest brother's cassette tape. And he'd got that from a family friend called Peter. And it blew my mind. It was the first time I'd listened to anything really like that. And yeah, my middle brother was going through, he used to listen to Metallica. And at that point, he was going through a phase of listening to things like Manic Street Preachers, Smashing Pumpkins, but he said, oh, no, that's Metallica, and you know, this album's worthwhile. And, yeah, a couple of months passed, got to my birthday, I got a little portable CD player to listen to CDs with, because it was before. I lie. I am lying to you, I'm very sorry. Because that birthday was when we got our first, it shows you how backwards my family, that's the first time we got a CD player. You know, I'm just making shit up now, actually. No, I got that before. No, it was when I got my portable CD player. Right. It was only a couple of years before I got a Ghetto Blaster with a CD player on it. And that was the first CD player our household ever had.
You know what I hated about CD Walkmans? Was that you had to get the really expensive ones to get the ones that wouldn't skip.
Yeah, so I was like, this had something like 20 seconds ESP on it. So it wasn't too bad. I sat it in my pocket, I could walk at a fairly good pace, and it didn't skip. But I did buy one from Maplin once, which was this semi-translucent purple monstrosity, but they labelled it as a MP3 CD player.
Yeah.
So that must have been 98, 99, I think I bought that. And I bought it with these Maxell black CDs that looked like the PlayStation CDs that you could burn yourself. And I filled it up with MP3s, and you couldn't do it. You couldn't walk with it. It was just full stop. You couldn't walk with it. Stick a normal CD in, you could. And I did some digging, read the manual. When playing an MP3 CD, ESP is deactivated.
Yeah.
And I can understand why. It's because it's reading finer data, as it were. But anyway, so I'd got my pocket CD player, got some money from birthday, went up to Owl Price at Marketplace and bought Kill 'Em All and the Black Album. And I listened to them non-stop. And why I'm a fan of Metallica still. I absolutely love it. Don't love their new stuff. Everything since Saint Anger. Oh dear.
What's the newest one that we were both listening to? Was it Metallica? Who released that?
Judas Priest.
Was it Judas Priest?
Yeah, you sent me the new Judas Priest song, which was amazing.
That was wicked.
That was still in keeping with what they did.
Yeah.
Whereas Metallica kind of, they did I Disappear for Mission Impossible 2, and then they released Saint Anger, and it just, they kind of went down this route of Lars wanted to be his drums sound much more industrial versus what they used to sound like. Yeah. They've drop-tuned everything, and it's just, they've all tried to go, and it's just, it doesn't work for me. I haven't listened to any of the really new albums, but again, I kind of got a little bit annoyed when The Unforgiven is a brilliant song on the Black Album. Can't beat it. Amazing song. Then on, I think it's Reload. I don't think it's Load. I think there's an album called Reload. There's a song called Unforgiven 2, which is, in my opinion, it's better than Unforgiven. I'll probably get killed for that. In one of the latest albums, there's now The Unforgiven 3. It's just fuck off.
Yeah.
Stop it now.
I feel like the bands like that, as they get older, they need to just lean into people just loving the old stuff. And if they release new stuff, make it how they would have made it back in the day.
Yeah, I mean, my biggest disappointment is I never got to see Metallica live.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to, but their tickets are like £100+ now, even for like Milton Keynes.
Yeah.
And so I'm not going to pay that to go and listen to. And they're still a great show, but a lot of the live stuff I've seen them do on YouTube now, Hetfield isn't amazing, don't get me wrong. His voice is gone.
I'll never forgive. I said this to Dan the other day. I'll never forgive him and all of them that went to see Oasis and didn't invite me.
Ooh.
Yeah, because they thought I didn't like them. So, well, that's what they
How
said.
How wrong
just
were that they?
I just don't think they wanted me to come with them for every reason.
Yeah, so that's kind of my story about Metallica. It's just, literally, I just wanted to find out what your favourite band was and where you discovered them. And I love the fact that you discovered them watching with your dad, Kerrang.
Same place I discovered Rammstein.
Du hast. Rest in peace, Kerrang. I was going to open this section as, have you? And I think I do that in way too many of the sections now. But I don't know any way around doing this because I've done no planning. So have you seen Mad Max Fury Road?
Yeah.
I hadn't until the other night. I missed it at the cinema.
Yeah.
I missed it on streaming. And good old Cineworld, please sponsor us. It'd be really nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, Cineworld are doing an action month, so I've got Commando booked next month. Mm-hmm. I did Mad Max the other day. We missed Demolition Man.
I'm so gutted. I can't tell you how gutted I am, but I couldn't go see Demolition.
I would have loved to have seen that on the big screen with you.
Just, I really hope they do it again and it's not on a Monday or whatever it was.
Yeah,
it was
they a netball always day, seem to so do I just Mondays. I don't know why.
Yeah.
It's obviously the quietest day, but...
Because obviously I've only ever seen it... I've only seen it on VHS or when it was on TV. Because I don't own it.
Really?
I don't have it on DVD or Blu-ray or anything.
Oh, blimey, right. That's my Christmas present for you, Sawyer. Yeah. Or birthday present.
Which is funny because it's one of my favourite films of all time. But I don't know how I can watch it. Unless I go and buy a Blu-ray.
Yeah, fair enough.
You know, it's not like it's on any stream service that I'm aware of. But I would love to see that at the cinema so much.
Yeah, just... Yeah, and that's why I'm going to go and see Commando. I've only ever seen that on the small screen. So to see it on the big screen, I'd love to see things like RoboCop, which was at the cinema last year, apparently. Terminator, Terminator 2, the original Alien trilogy. Mm. Would love to see them all on the big screen. So hopefully that will come back around. But yeah, I'd missed Mad Max. And all I've ever seen is people sing its praises. And I thought, oh, it can't be that good.
We saw it in IMAX.
Oh, and wow.
The cinematography of the film is what makes it.
Oh,
100%. The storyline is fucking Mad Max. There isn't really much of a storyline that you really have to care about. Just the look and the score of the film is just fucking brilliant. It's what an amazing film for those two things alone. Yeah, I just remember seeing it, just being like, this is amazing. That sandstorm.
Oh my God.
I just was in awe.
Yeah,
of it.
So Cineworld's obviously knew that would be needed. Now, whether or not they're doing all the action films on that screen, I don't know.
It was super screen.
They did it on screen three, which is the super screen.
Yeah,
so it's not as big as the IMAX screen, but it's. Actually, it might be the IMAX
screen. They have an IMAX
screen
in there. They have an IMAX screen.
It might be the IMAX screen, you know, because I'm pretty sure it is then. So it is actually, I think it is the IMAX screen they did it in.
Yeah. Because that's where we saw it, and sure it's
huge.
An IMAX screen. Yeah.
And oh, so gorgeous. Everything about it. I mean, you're right. The story is just Mad Max, and it's not brilliant, the story.
No.
It's not bad. Be happy it's not bad. But yeah, the story isn't absolutely fantastic, is it? But the cinematography, like you said, everything about the occasional weird sped up moments or the time lapse moments, or like you say, the sandstorm going through what turns out to be the green space that isn't the green space anymore. the vehicles, the weirdness of it, the guitar player on bungee strings.
I see that dude with the double guitar, and he's like chained up. He's like, oh, so cool.
Everything about it was really cool. And I gotta say, I am getting so much more respect for kind of Tom Hardy as an actor.
I like Tom Hardy.
I can't not. Having seen him kind of do the whole the Kray twins? He plays
the Kray twins.
It is the Kray twins, isn't it? In a film called Legend.
Yeah, I really love that film.
The portrayal that he does in that, it's just phenomenal.
I just wrote IMDb into the IMDb search there.
Nice, well done. Bane, okay, yeah, it's well portrayed.
I need to watch that again. I've only seen it once.
I remember watching, I swear, and this could just be kind of that Mandela effect, but I swear I've seen it twice. The first time I saw it, he was barely legible. The second time I saw it, it was like, hang on a moment. Have they cleaned up the audio on this?
I think it was a bit of a meme.
Is there been a recut with this or something?
I think it was just a bit of a meme, so that's probably why it was anyway. That's a fucking good impression, that. Jeez, that was a good impression. He's in a show called Taboo.
Oh, I've never heard of that.
It was a BBC, I think it was BBC, 2017, 8 episodes. I really wanted a second series, and they never did one. Very weird Victorian thing. We watched it because someone we know was one of the costume designers on it.
Mm.
And yeah, it's a really good show. I remember him. The first film I remember him in was Rock and Roller.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah, that's the first thing I ever saw him in. And now, he's a very small chap in that, quite skinny.
He is. And from what I understand, again, I could be completely wrong, and feel free to fill us in if we are, but I understand he's kind of a method actor, isn't he? He basically...
My understanding is
he goes and sets himself up in whatever role he's meant to be playing, he'll do. Now, did you know that one of his earliest films... So he's done films since about 2001, from the look of it. He did a film in 2002 that nearly killed his career.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what it is?
No, I just closed IMDb, I don't know.
It was Star Trek.
Nah. Yes.
He plays Picard's clone. He plays Shinzon.
He does. Of course he does.
And apparently that role nearly killed his acting career. It was such a bad role for him. I think he plays it really well.
But he does look so young. Well, yeah, we would have been. I mean, I don't think he's much older than me, and I would have been 16.
So 2002, I was 18. He was born 1977, which...
Oh, he's a lot older than me.
He is a lot older, actually. Yeah, 1977, so he would have been 25.
He's 8 years older than me, then. He's 8 years older than me. That's incredible.
Yeah, that's interesting. But yeah, he did Star Trek Nemesis, and apparently it absolutely caved his career for a period.
Was that well-reviewed, though, the film in general?
No.
Is that... Because
I'm just looking at IMDb, it's a 6.4 out of 10.
Yeah, just less than Barbie.
If I want, I prefer it to Insurrection.
Mm. Yeah,
Insurrection is just, again, John Luke being a horny fucker.
The thing is, I saw a thing the other day, and it was about villains, and it was saying that really the thing that makes a superhero film is actually the villain. If you don't have a good villain, then the superhero film is shit. And that's what they were saying. Some of the Iron Man films were never good because they never had a good villain in the Iron Man films to go with how cool Tony Stark is. Whereas like Black Panther had a fucking brilliant baddie, which helped the film be really good.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, Batman, well, no, with Dark Knight.
No, I agree. I'm just saying with the Iron Man stuff, I think Iron Man 1's fucking brilliant. All the others are pony. They are absolutely trash.
Yeah, there's going to be outliers. But, you know, if you think about the Batman films, you know, the Christopher Nolan ones,
yeah,
they had good baddies. They all had really good baddies. Yeah, it makes, you know, the film's good anyway, but having good baddies really does help.
Yeah, no, you're right. Really good. If you've got a good bad, people love a bad guy.
Mm.
And if you don't have a decent bad guy that captivates you, then you're fucked, aren't you? I mean, look at Legend.
Yeah.
The Kray twins were horrible people. Let's not fuck about here. They did horrible, horrible things based on gangland London.
Yeah.
Yes, it's the life they were brought into and they decided to live. They loved their mother. But actually, if you look at what they did, it was fucking horrendous. But they portray them so well, you can't help but like the bad guy.
Yeah.
And from what I understand, that's what it was very much in life. As long as you didn't cross them, and from the people that's kind of met them or had met them, said that they're actually the really nicest men you could meet. It's just, unfortunately, if you were on the other side of them, you were fucked.
They were career criminals, weren't they? They basically like mafia, really, having fronted stuff. You know, they had that bar, that club that famous people went to, like Barbara Windsor and stuff, were going to these places where these guys were because it was the cool place to go, run by the gangsters, you know.
Yeah, exactly. So, no, you're right. You've got to have a good bad guy, but Tom Hardy in Nemesis was not it.
No.
But to be, as I say, if you look at the Next Generation films, honestly, the only one that's good out of all of them is First Contact.
Yeah.
Generations is long and boring, which is basically the same thing that happened with the first Star Trek film for the original series. Nemesis, I think, gets a bad rep when it doesn't deserve it. And then, as I say, Insurrection is just purely Picard getting his cock sucked while reversing age somehow, you know? It's just, it's a really crap story. And they kill Data. So it's like, oh, brilliant. Well done, guys. Thanks. Anyway, right, finish about Tom Hardy. So yeah, Mad Max, I thought it was absolutely wonderful. The bloke that plays Nux, the war boy who changes allegiance. Wow.
Is he from Mickey Blue Eyes?
Oh, I don't know. I haven't looked him up. I just thought his performance is so good.
And he's in, I want us to call it Dead Bodies, where he plays a zombie.
Oh.
Who gets a heart.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
I just genuinely felt bad for his character in this.
Yeah.
You actually feel for him by the end. And then it's like, yeah. When he finally sacrifices himself for the girl, it's like, oh.
Yeah, he finally realises, doesn't he? What the fuck? And then it's kind of too late.
But I love the idea as well.
Witness me.
Oh yeah, witness me. I shall return Cromie.
Yeah.
But the whole idea of the girls wanting to escape as well, but each of the girls have got their... Did you realise they'd all got their names with what they are, basically?
I didn't notice, I don't think.
Yeah, I didn't until I started looking them up. So you got... Jason Statham's, I think it's wife, Rosie Huntington-Thive, or whatever her name is the blonde one. Oh, that's horrendous, that scene, where she falls off pregnant and then gets run over, and then they cut the... Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That upset me, actually. I won't lie. That did... But, yeah, there's Toast to the Knowing. Then you'd got The Splendid, Capable, The Dag, and Cheeto the Fragile. So they've all got a name based
like
on
a moniker thing,
who they are.
Right.
Which is funny, really. Because, yeah, you've got Cheeto the Fragile was the one that could handle all the guns. She like just snatched them off people, started reloading. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. So no, I loved it. Really, really loved it. Really glad I saw it. And then trailers came on.
Mm-hmm.
And it just made me want to talk a little bit more about film before we move on. Obviously, it's just dropped, Deadpool and Wolverine.
Yeah.
I watched it just so happy to like be a third one, because the second one I enjoyed, but I thought it was a bit of a letdown compared to the first.
I think because the first one was just such a breath of fresh air in a mist of Marvel fucking bullshittery. It's just so good to just have...
something stupid there and fun.
And just at the moment, Ryan Reynolds can't really do anything wrong at the moment.
That's very true. Free Guy, if you've watched it.
Yep, seen Free Guy.
Fucking brilliant.
Yeah.
And you're right, Ryan Reynolds just can't seem to do anything wrong right now. But I'll go back to my point about Iron Man. That first film was brilliant because it was, there was no kind of weight behind it. There was no, expectations that it was going to go further and go into this massive fucking Marvel universe like it did. It was just a standalone film that was fun, action-filled, and well-acted.
Well, they took a risk with Robert Downey Jr. because he hadn't really been doing anything because of all of his drug problems.
Was that because that was before he did Sherlock, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Basically, this was his kind of comeback.
This was his reboot. Yeah.
Thank God they did. Mm. But, yeah, so I kind of put Deadpool in kind of the Iron Man, and like you say, there's no shit behind it. It was just a standalone film, and it was really good. Then you got Deadpool 2, and I kind of felt they'd gone a little too much with it. It was still enjoyable. I love the bit where they're just jumping out the jet and everyone's dying. It's just a brilliant scene in that
entire film. And it
actually
has Brad Pitt.
Brad Pitt as the Invisible
Dude. Actually has it, yeah.
But something just didn't sit right with me with it. Still enjoy it, but this, just Deadpool and Wolverine, oh.
Yeah.
I mean, you've seen the trailer. What do you think?
It's all about Hugh Jackman for me. I'm in love with that man.
Oh, God, who isn't?
You know, when those kaijus are finished fighting, Hugh's going to come around the corner.
He's going to rescue
and just
us. So he can
mop up what's left over, you know. It's, yeah.
I mean, let's make you feel old for a moment. When did the first X-Men film come out? Oh, we've already done this anyway. 2000.
Yeah, that's insane.
24 years ago, we were introduced to Hugh Manly Jackman and his knife hands.
What do you think of Logan?
I'm yet to see it all the way through.
Oh, I've seen it twice. Normal and in black and white, because they have a black and white.
I've only seen the black and white, and yeah. I wasn't enjoying it. I'm going to go back and watch it, but I think the thing that I really liked about the X-Men films were they were just stupid sort of fun action.
Mm-hmm.
A bit like action, oh, like Iron Man and everything else. Whereas I found Logan, they'd gone for the whole 18 certificate, kind of darker. So maybe I was just watching it in the wrong kind of mindset, the wrong mood.
Yeah.
So I will go back and rewatch it. But you're right, Wolverine or Hugh Jackman just makes that role.
I was super into it because of reading a load, because Dan, I really like dark comics. Comics were drawn really kind of like the Sandman, really dark, bloody,
yeah,
not for kids. They're the comic books I like. And Old Man Logan was one that Dan, and Logan Goes to Hell. And there were ones that, Wolverine Goes to Hell, I think it's called, that Dan got me to kind of get me into those. And it's very much, Logan is very much Old Man Logan comic. I think it might even be based on that.
Oh, possibly.
But it's got a guy in it who I really like. His name's Boyd Holbrook. He's the baddie in Logan. He's got a robot arm. But he plays a character, I cannot remember. Yeah, he plays a character called the Corinthium in The Sandman. Have you watched The Sandman?
No.
So I haven't actually read the comics, but I've listened to the books on Audible. It's the same guy. I can't remember his name, the bloody guy who made The Sandman, because he also did that Heaven and Hell show with David Tennant and Bad Omens.
Bad Omens, yeah.
What's his name? We're going to have to pause this so we can find his name and then restart it again.
No, that requires editing.
I cannot believe I can't remember.
Is it Bad Omens? No, it's not Bad Omens.
Good Omens.
Good Omens.
Good
that,
Omens.
That makes more sense.
Good Omens, yeah.
Good Omens. Let's have a quick look here. So it was the writer of this, was it?
Yeah.
Scroll all the way to the right.
Because Good Omens is by Terry Pratchett and
Neil Gaiman.
Terry Pratchett and Neil Gaiman, yeah. Neil Gaiman does the voiceover for all of his Sandman stuff, and he also does the voiceover for the Sandman show. He's got an amazing voice. Mm. You hear it, you'd know it.
Oh, okay, yeah. I know the name.
Sandman. Yeah, you used to watch the Sandman. That's basically what I'm getting at. But yeah, he plays a guy called the Corinthian in that, and the Corinthian, I had to explain him. So he's, the Sandman is like the Lord of Dreams.
Yeah.
They've got like seven or eight lords or whatever, and he's the Lord of the Dream World, and the Corinthian is one of his nightmares that he created. And the Corinthian doesn't have eyes. He has mouths for eyes.
Oh.
So he's always wearing glasses. He takes his glasses off. There's two mouths.
So that sounds really like, very much like Pan's Labyrinth.
Yes. Yeah.
Mister,
Pan's
I've got
Labyrinth
hands in
vibes.
My, eyes in my hand sort of
yeah.
shit.
I mean, that's very much as we love, not CGI and very much...
yeah, practical effects.
Sandman's not so much. They are, you know, they're not they're not, they haven't made art mouths for his eyes. He could tell they're computerized. But yeah, it's,
let's face it, they're not going to be as bad as the third eye on Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. No. That is so shockingly done.
Watch the Sandman, everybody, and get back to me. All of you, that's your homework for before.
But as normal, we wandered off topic there. Deadpool and Wolverine, what do you think the story is going to be? I haven't actually looked at what the story is going to be. I've only watched the trailer, and all I can think is it's multiverse.
Yes.
There's a dead giant Ant-Man, which suggests they're going to go to somewhere where Ant-Man has died. What a surprise.
Yep.
I don't think the Wolverine's the Wolverine from what we've seen. Hence,
it's not. They've basically confirmed
he
that.
Exists, because obviously in Logan, does he die or...
Dies at the end of the... Spoilers.
Yeah, dies at the end of Logan. So it's obviously not that Logan. We get the whole point where Deadpool says, you didn't save your world.
He didn't save your world, yeah.
So we've got that. And then we've apparently got Xavier's sister, did Dan say?
Dan said that was Professor Xavier's sister. So I'm just trying to look in our chat where I said what I think was going to happen. When did it come out? You linked it.
Monday or Tuesday.
God, was that that far ago?
Oh, it might be Monday, yeah. No, it came out Monday because we were playing, guess what, Helldivers 2 on Sunday night. But yeah, I kind of get the idea. It's going to be a whole multiversal thing, and Deadpool pulls whatever it is into his multiverse for whatever reason it's going to be.
Yeah. And it kind of went with that whole, you see him do the spiral thing, don't you?
Yeah, you see him
right
do
at the end.
A Doctor Strange magic disc thing.
Yeah. I can't find it in our democracy chat. I must have wrote it in the R2-D2. That's
yes,
it
was in that one. But either way, it's... Yeah, I think that's what it's going to be. And obviously, that would actually play really well with Cable.
Yes.
Seeing that he's jumped from the future, sticking him into multiverse kind of also makes sense.
Yep.
So yeah, I'm really excited about it. Are you?
I'm super excited about seeing it. Because it's got fucking Hugh Jackman in it. I mean, how can you not?
Out of curiosity, is TJ Miller in it this time?
Didn't he fall out with them?
Well, that's the point. So he wrote or helped write the first one.
He didn't get... I think I...
Then in the second one, apparently there are lots of arguments and he was told somewhat, I think, fuck off maybe. Or there was a big falling out, which is why he's only in part of Deadpool 2 and wasn't involved fully in the writing. No, he's not in Deadpool 3 at all.
So, right. So Dan said, because I don't know that character, he said that that she is his sister, Xavier's sister. And her power is that she can give people mutant powers.
Yes, that's exactly what
he
said.
So I said, I think she's going to be the big baddie and she's going to be coming from another world.
Oh, hang on. Doesn't that mean she's just rogue? As rogue absorbed?
No,
oh, no,
she
gives.
Just,
sorry, right, yeah, get you.
Yeah, so she can just give people powers. So I was thinking that she's going to, maybe she destroyed Logan's world and he failed to defeat her in his world.
Mm-hmm.
And they're both going to get pulled into Deadpool's world.
Yeah.
Where there aren't any mutants. So,
oh, yes, that's
and
a good point. Because
she's going to do is try and do the same to that world. But now Deadpool's like, you now have a chance
to
save this world like you failed your one.
She's traversing the multiverse to...
No, I don't think she's... I think it's accidental. I think it's Deadpool's fucking around. Because I haven't seen the other Marvel stuff, so I know there's stuff going on with the Loki stuff. I can't remember his name. My dog's named after him, for God's sake. Where there's multiverse stuff and all the
stuff.
I haven't seen season two
there.
Of
there's
that.
Multiverse madness with Strange, and then there's
and with
also
Venom.
Yeah, Venom, because you see that at the end of the last Spider-Man film, Venom getting sucked up.
So I think just how Venom gets sucked in, so does Logan, so does this person. They get sucked in the exact same way that Venom does, right?
Yeah.
And when they realise he's just there drinking at the bar, like we see him
talk about Venom, Tom Hardy.
Tom Hardy.
Bloody brilliant, both of them. I love them. Again, really negative reviews I'd got
given. I love those.
I love both of them. I thought they were fucking brilliant.
I really like them too. And so she's going to get pulled to this other world. He couldn't defeat in the first one. That's why Deadpool's like, oh, you're going to... you failed your world, you can save this one. Let help me defeat her here. Yeah. But I think they do fail again. And she does create mutants in this world. And like Dan was saying, that's how they then introduce mutants into the current Marvel universe, which is what they wanted to do.
That's a very
she
good
does
point.
Something, or maybe her dying sets off a chain reaction and awakens the mutant gene, like the mutant gene gets awakened.
So it could be kind of a so it might be a reboot of the whole Marvel X-Men series.
Yeah.
Created by Dead. That's a very interesting.
That is my theory.
And I'm not going to read anything about it because I literally want to walk into the cinema knowing nothing about that first trailer.
Yep.
That's exactly all I want to know.
I've just made that up based on that conversation we had in that chat.
Brilliant. Yeah. Okay, well, look, we've been talking ages, so very, very quickly, there's two more trailers that I've seen that I really want to see. Mm-hmm. Number one, I am seeing, I've got my tickets for, The Fall Guy, Ryan Gosling. Mm-hmm. Had no idea what it was going to be. I just saw a film, he's a stunt man. I presumed it was going to be some sort of funny comedy romance. Now I've seen the trailer. Holy shit, does it look cool.
It's cool as fuck, yeah.
It's just a complete action film, kind of Die Hard meets Ryan Gosling, I guess. So the idea of the film, if you haven't seen the trailer, but go and see the trailer, is he's a stuntman. He's trying to get with the producer of a film that he's on. It turns out the star of the film hasn't turned up for filming, so they send Ryan Gosling to go and find out what's going on. It turns out the star's got into trouble with some really nasty people, and then they're trying to kill the stuntman because he's witnessed what they've done.
Oh, right.
That's the whole point of the film.
I didn't get that from the trailer. I thought he was just a stuntman.
Maybe it needs to be the second trailer you see. But genuinely, it looks fun. Lots of fun. Ken doing what Ken does. I mean, Ryan Gosling doing what Ryan Gosling does best. Hamming it up as well. It's brilliant.
Again, he does some great stuff.
Yeah, 100%. Deserves way more. More love.
I really liked him in that sci-fi kind of sequel they did. Oh, Jeff, why can I never fucking remember anything?
Because we don't plan.
Yeah.
We need to plan more.
No, fucking no, we don't. So Harrison Ford was in the first one. Everyone's going nuts because it's such a famous film that I cannot remember the name of. And looking you, and we're going to go nuts.
Right, I'm going to look up Ryan Gosling.
It's cyberpunk. It's a cyberpunk kind of film.
Right. Okay. Was it popular?
Yeah, it's amazing.
Was it La La Land?
No, I like La La Land.
I've never seen it. When did it come out?
The second one.
Oh, Blade Runner.
Yeah.
Right. I've not seen the new Blade Runner.
It's good. I liked it.
To be honest, I wasn't blown away by the first one. And again, it's one of those typical ones. If you look at those 1,000 films or 100 films you must watch before you die, Blade Runner's always there. It was good. And it looked amazing. And the story was okay. But honestly,
it's slow science fiction. So Dune, Space Odyssey, that.
Yeah.
I class them as like slow sci-fi.
You saw about 2001, Space Odyssey, by the way. Have you ever seen the sequel to that?
No.
2010, brilliant film. Absolutely love it. And it's Helen Mirren's first role, and she plays a Russian space scientist.
Oh, okay.
Commander of a spaceship. Brilliant. I'll lend it to you. It's really worth watching. But do you reckon Blade Runner 2047 or whatever it's called is worth watching then?
I enjoyed it, yeah.
Oh, I'll just give that one a try then. But yeah, so Fall Guy. Definitely going to go and see that one. Really looking forward to it. But the one I'm really looking forward to, just because I love John H. Benjamin.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know who that is?
No, but I saw the trailer. So.
He is the voice of Archer,
yeah.
Bob from Bob's Burgers, and several characters in Aqua Teen Hunger Force.
Yeah.
And that is Boy Kills World. And it just looks mental.
What is it? Skarsgård, one of the Skarsgård brothers.
Yeah, it's one of the Skarsgård.
This is it, though, isn't it? The guy who plays it.
Yeah, that's it.
Which is a crazily different role than
this. He doesn't get to speak in this.
No.
He's completely mute, he's deaf, and it's John H. Benjamin doing the voiceover for him.
Mm.
And I'm just here for it. Other than the fact that it looks just crazily violent and stupid, it just looked really fun. So as long as the trailer isn't just the best bits, definitely watching that one. And that's it, really. That's all I wanted to talk about for 28 minutes.
Blimey.
Oops.
All right, party time.
Whose birthday is it? Someone gets a spanking. Hey, happy birthday!
Happy birthday to you.
Oh,
happy
no.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear TJ. Happy birthday to you for yesterday.
I think being 40 is already hitting home. The last 2 days, I've just felt exhausted. Is that what being 40 is?
Yeah, maybe. I think certainly being 40 and being a dad.
Oh, don't.
Absolutely. As I said to you, though, the other day, I am now the only hell diver in our group that's still in the 30s.
You are. You are the only young with person the, in
as
our
Dan
team.
Said, the youngest with the highest cholesterol. Here's the first gift for
Ooh,
you.
Ooh, I get a brown envelope.
Brown envelope.
Is your... this me being fired from the podcast?
Yeah, this is your P45.
Oh.
Isn't it cool? It's a cool card.
Cool.
Yeah.
It's a... not a pop art. It's a drawing of Spock doing Live Long and Prosper with a party hat on. Oh, I love that. TJ, may the force live long and prosper inside of you on your birthday. Rob, Meander,
and
Miranda, and T. Oh, I love it. I really like that. That's a we'll get a picture of that up on Twitter and maybe the webpage.
Two gifts here, hard or soft?
I always like it hard, but I'm going to take it soft from you today,
Rob. Take it soft first. Okay, there you go.
This wrapping paper I have used so many
that
times.
That was the last of it. I've run out now.
Sainsbury's or Tesco? No, this is the Sainsbury's
one. It's going to be Sainsbury's, yeah. Colourful balloons.
Colourful balloons.
It's lasted a long time.
Lovely rainbow.
It's a big roll.
I love it. It's such a nice wrapping paper. Oh, right there, the labels. We'll pop that there for a moment. It's a T-shirt, boys and girls.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully the right size.
I love the fact that you messaged Jem, and I'm guessing because she didn't reply, that's when you asked me my T-shirt.
No, I messaged you first, and you didn't reply. And then I was speaking to Karen, and she said, why didn't you ask Jem? So I asked Jem.
Oh.
And then she replied just after.
Okay. Uh-oh, right. What is it? Oh my god, that's amazing. So I'm going real close at the moment. It's Darmok and Jalad. It's Picard and Darmok with guitars and bass live at Tanagra with a star date, Shaka, when the walls fell.
It's like a band shirt.
That is just
I don't know where I find this shit. Just
that's genuinely a thing of beauty. I love it so much. It's so stupid. I love every minute of it. It's just yes, I am here for that.
It's a great shirt.
That is wonderful.
And now your hard item.
Ooh, right. Okay, he's given me my hard one. And I'm not going to bother trying to save wrapping paper for once. Ooh, right. I can see something lower decks. Oh, hello.
Hopefully you haven't already got this.
No, I don't. So this, for the people that are listening to the rattle of the paper, is the Star Trek Lower Decks, the USS Cerritos Crew Handbook by... Oh, Chris Farnell's done a load of the Star Trek books, hasn't he? Join the crew of the USS Cerritos as they seek out new life and travel where people may or may not have been before. Based on the hit Paramount Plus animated series, Wankers Paramount, hate you, hate you, hate you. sorry. Until Lower Decks is brought back, they're cunts. Star Trek
No,
Lowers...
I'm trying to get a bloody series. Actually, no. Okay, we have to be nice to them on the Trek show. We can be horrible to them here.
Yeah, we'll just do some spin-off and then we'll claim that we were influenced by Star Trek.
I was
Trek
trying to get
to.
Them to send us free codes to give to
of
listeners
Of course you
too,
were,
right?
Yeah.
Let's just don't fucking respond.
No, well, there you go. Star Trek Lower Decks, Mariner, Boimler, and all their friends. Hilarious and informative handbook will help you come to grips with... Oh, I love it.
There's only
so
a few pages that they had online, and the Ferengi was one of them on there.
Oh,
and I started
no.
reading it, and I was like, I'm going to get this for some.
Oh, this is brilliant. Oh, I'm looking forward to going. Oh, thank you very much, dude.
You're
That's
welcome.
Really awesome.
You're
thank
welcome.
You, man. Really, really taken with all of that. And the T-shirt, I'm going to get that washed and... Yeah,
it does have that new shirt smell that needs to get taken off of it.
Yeah, everything does. Everything does. Been properly spoiled for my birthday, so I've got some lovely presents at home. Jem's taking me to Bath for the week, a couple of days. Mm-hmm. We're going to go to the Bath Spa, and we've got a hotel booked and all that. So looking forward to that. And kids got me a nice jumper and a couple of nice little bits of chocolate, my favourites, Hershey's cookie and cream and Terry's chocolate orange and... my mum, dad, and aunt got me some lovely bits and pieces I'd asked for, like 2010 on DVD and a couple of shirts, one of which, well, both of them are really garish. Love them. Mm-hmm. One's covered in skulls and the other one, I might look like a pimp wearing it, but I love it. A couple of like techie bits as well. So I've had a really good birthday. And of course, I cannot forget this. Patron saint of the podcast.
Oh, of course.
And you'll find out more about that later. Karen also sent me a birthday present from her and Adam. Yeah. And they sent me from a company called Rude Cookies. And the first one was 1 year closer to death and a skull. And it's this, a shortcake cookie with icing decoration on the front. We'll get pictures up of this on social media.
Yeah.
And then the other one is my favourite one. It's a pigeon, a very fat pigeon with "you're the shit" written on it.
Yeah.
Just absolutely legendary. I honestly don't know if I want to eat these or keep them.
Have you seen the icon on the back?
Yeah, the icon for Rude Cookies is a cookie walking along, giving you the bird.
Yeah.
I will eat these. I know I will. But they're just so beautifully done. They're really nicely iced. So thank you very much, Karen. And thank you for the card as well, which I should have brought with me, which had a whole list of "do you remembers" based on the year that I was born.
Oh, did it?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So like Thatcher kind of giving back China. Just lovely little bits like that. So genuinely.
Did she write those? Did her and Adam write those?
They must have researched and wrote them themselves.
Fantastic.
So genuinely, genuinely taken with that. So that's now making me have to up my game for your birthday. So I'm going to have to really
write "do you remembers" and give you amazing cookies.
No, but you gave me amazing presents and got me a Spock card.
Yeah,
so
I do like the t-shirt.
Oh, I love it, mate. I love every little bit of that. So thank you very much.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
It just takes me straight to Moana whenever
I
hear
that.
That's why
I say it that way. I say it that way on purpose now. Yeah.
And it's whenever I hear the bloke from Flight of the Conchords, all I can hear is "Shiny!"
Yeah.
Can I clock it? 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 Can I cluck it? Can I? Well, I'm game. Robert?
Yeah.
Robert?
Yeah.
Are you ready for a new game?
Yay!
Now, the listeners have already heard the intro, so they know exactly what this is based on the intro, as long as I've actually edited it and created it in time. So if I haven't, I'm very sorry, but
so
I'm going to explain the game anyway.
As you're talking, you don't know what the intro is.
Oh, I know what the intro in my head is.
Okay.
And I know exactly what I'm going to do for it. It's whether or not I record it in time, which I will of.
Shall I give you some reactions?
No.
Oh, what a great intro.
You won't have heard it.
Oh, that's not very good, Tom. You could have done better. Maybe next time, Tom. Oh, brilliant. I do love a good intro. Now you
can
cut those out.
Because you're not meant to know what it is anyway, because I'm going to explain the game to you now.
Okay.
This game is called Can You Cluck It? And I have dragged my wife into this, who basically me and her have been watching Taskmaster.
Great show.
Love it. We've fallen in love with it completely. We've watched two series. We're on to season three now. We're that far behind. And she likes the idea of being Taskmaster.
Okay.
She wants to be Greg Davis. Fine. I'm happy with that. And we've got a whole YouTube video that's going to be playing. We're not going to do it in the podcast. It will just be up on YouTube for listeners. And that's a whole charity shop kind of challenge thing that we're doing. 100% not stolen from Cheap Show, I promise. It is just charity shop stuff. It's our own little take on it anyway. That will be coming in the future. But then this game just so happened to come first.
Okay.
And I've been thinking about this game for years, mainly because I listened to the Hamish and Andy show and they suggested, "Oh, send in your ideas for stupid games once upon a time." And they didn't do mine. Wankers.
Boo.
So yeah, can you cluck it? Have you got any idea what it might be?
Something to do with chickens.
It is. So I have six envelopes here because I thought six is probably going to be way too many anyway.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to choose three each, and in each envelope is a song. And I need you to cluck the song to me and see if I can guess what it is.
Okay, wicked.
That is what can
you cluck
it is.
I'm going to know the song myself.
So. Well, that's exactly it. So we might have a little pause. What I'm going to suggest for the rules is
We're going to my Bluetooth headset right.
You're going to choose your three envelopes.
Okay.
Then we'll have a little pause. We'll both look at the songs and decide whether or not we know them for each other, for ourselves, that is. And then we'll come back and we'll see who gets the best score. So look, you could. I don't know what any of these songs are. Jem has been very fastidious about this and turned around and said, I'm absolutely not letting you cheat at all.
Okay.
So these were printed out literally as I left the door.
She printed them?
She has printed them, yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I know that one.
Okay, good. I know that one. So yeah, my first one I can do. I did say to her, it might be an idea to look at film songs because...
Okay, yeah, I know that one.
Oh, I know that one as well.
I do a clucking chicken noise all the time, so... My clicking chicken noises.
No, no, that one.
Oh,
that's
no, no, that one too. I know all of them, right.
Yeah, right, we don't need to do it then. Right, this is so stupid. And this is the point of it. Listeners, if you enjoy it, we will do it again.
Okay, right, so I'm mixing them up so I don't choose which one I'm picking. So say one, two, or three.
One.
One, okay. So that's the one I'm going to cluck. So I'm going to cluck this one. Now, I know the song, but I can't remember the exact beginning, so I'm just going to go into.
Okay, and feel free to judge us and say who clucks better. Ghostbusters!
That's it, DJ. Hooray!
Okay, I feel like I may have the harder ones. I don't know.
Well, you don't know the other two I've got.
That's very true.
Careful, because I can almost see through the paper.
Oh, okay. Bark, 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 bark,
bark, bark, bark, bark, bark, bark, bark, bark. Our heart will go on. Celine Dion.
Yes, well done. 1 point for Rob. Have I invented a stupid game or what?
Yeah, this is great. One or two?
Two.
Two.
Because it rhymes with poo.
Poo, poo, doo, doo. Can't look at your face while I'm doing it.
Singing in the Rain.
Yeah, okay.
Beautifully done.
Thanks.
Beautifully done.
Thank you.
I think we need to tell Jem to make them harder next time. Oh, God, okay. Bark, bark. God, that sounds like Star Wars. Eh? Bark, bark. Oh, God, I can't even think of how the song goes now.
I don't know.
Oh, God.
It sounds like, because you said Star Wars, I can only think of Star Wars in my head.
It's really hard not to want to sing the lyrics while you're clucking, and obviously that's not going to work. I wonder, actually, let me have a quick look. If I look up the lyrics, maybe that'll help. If I look at the lyrics while I go.
Just cluck the lyrics. Because I'm not getting it so far.
Yeah, fair enough. It was a shit transition. Bark, 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 bark.
Bark, 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 once and a lullaby. Yeah, over the rainbow.
I needed the lyrics, yeah. So I completely went wrong with that. So to be fair, you deserve that point. Well done.
Got there in the end.
This is such a stupid fucking game.
Would you like to pick one?
I would like three.
Okay, let's go back.
Go on then, number one. Bark, 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 bark. Oh, God, I've got no idea. And again. I'm not going to get the point. And
I'm going to get the lyrics up as well.
Oh, okay,
I'll
fair enough.
Because I'm only singing a little bit of it. So.
Oh, fair enough. I think you'll get my next one. And actually, that means you will win. So any extra option to make this a draw, I'll be happy with.
Okay.
Oh, No, I've got no idea. Go on.
I don't want to miss a thing.
Oh.
It was just there. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, sorry, it's because you're not doing the wing movement. That's why you're not getting it.
Sorry, I wasn't doing it right.
Right, okay. Final one then.
So this is to win.
This is to win.
Men in Black.
Yeah, there we go. I will happily concede that one to you. But welcome to Tom's stupid game that we may revisit or completely forget about for the rest of time.
Is the intro going to be you clucking?
No, the intro is going to be, can you cluck it? Okay. Can I cluck it? Just because it's stupid.
Yeah, well done. That was a good game. I enjoyed that.
Good.
The salmon. The salmon spends its life relentlessly striving to get upstream. With ceaseless endeavor, it fights the currents of massive rivers, drags itself over rocks and shallow water, forces its way up huge waterfalls, never stops, never rests, just battles and battles its way upstream. Finally, heroically, it reaches its goal, and it's absolutely knackered. And it dies. Remember, you are not a salmon.
It's our favourite time. Not the kids' show knockout, because I've got to put those bones on Twitter. Instead, we're taste testing.
Oh, clucking hell.
Oh, cluck it. Yeah, no clucking involved in this. We've got two drinks to taste, and I've got... it's kind of a little game, actually. Three random, highly expensive Japanese Kit Kats for you to taste and tell me which one is which.
Okay.
So the drinks we've got you bought are Coca-Cola Zero Sugar Lemon, Tango Mango, which I really like saying.
Tango Mango. I have tried this one.
Which is fine. That's fine. And then three Kit Kats. I'm not going to tell you the flavor. I want you to tell me what the flavor is, and then we'll see if you're right or wrong.
Okay.
I've got an addition. I've got an admission to make here. Mm-hmm. I've been on a diet for, 6 weeks nearly now, weigh in tomorrow. Don't think I'm going to lose weight this week, annoyingly, but I have lost over a stone in nearly 6 weeks, which I'm really chuffed about. And it's down to the fact that I'm not eating two fucking Mars bars a day and a couple of bottles of Coke a day. It's absolutely my own fault. But having not drunk Coke for so long now, I'm slowly starting to enjoy Diet Coke and Coke Zero.
Yeah.
It's almost like my taste buds are like, oh, this is acceptable now.
I'm drinking a Coke Zero right here.
Yeah. I don't get the aftertaste as much anymore. So yeah. I do wonder if it's just purely because the amount of sugar I was eating was interacting with whatever it is. I mean, I still get that very much fake sugary sweetener taste on certain drinks, which I think I might get with the Tango Mango, but we'll see. But the zero sugar stuff, I'm not minding. But I'm not the cunt that likes Pepsi Cherry, so it's fine.
Yeah.
Sorry, Pepsi Max.
Pepsi Max Cherry is quite specific.
And your little video, thing of beauty, if you haven't seen it, head over to good old X and look up Untitled Trek Show.
No, it's at underscore Untitled Trek.
Untitled Trek. And look up the video of Pepsi Max being blown up.
Yeah. So, what do you want to go for first?
Oh, let's do the Kit Kats first, because I'm thinking if we have something that's going to change our taste liquid-wise, it might make it a little bit hard.
Right.
Oh, suit you.
Suit you, sir.
Right, I'm going to pop these down here so you can't see.
Just keep them out of the weather, dogs.
Oh, that's a very good idea. Oh, wow, okay. I thought I'd picked up the wrong one, so oops. It's still one for you to guess. It's fine.
Oh, okay. Just not the one
that you're probably going to guess easily.
Okay.
Well, you never know. I could be wrong. Right. I'm going to snap off a whole finger for you, Rob.
Give me a chocolate finger.
It's terrible. There you go.
Oh, it's a funny colour.
There's your finger of a Kit Kat.
So it's two different colours. It's got a normal Kit Kat top, but the bottom bit is
it's
like
a bit
Karamak.
Like that, Karamak one that we had that was really nice. Was it Turkish we had?
Yeah.
I've just shoved it in my hole.
You got all of that in your mouth in one go?
I could get a whole four one in my mouth.
Thank God you'd make a good wife.
You know what? I know what that is, and I can taste that.
And that's actually a really nice representation of what it's meant to be.
It's coffee.
It's not coffee, no. It's something you might have with coffee. Oh, I quite like that. It's a bit of an almondy flavour, which is, I think, where you might be going down with the coffee route. Yeah.
The coffee taste goes away.
It's very sweet, obviously.
Can I have a clue? Because I don't know what it's meant to be at all.
So you would normally have them with a coffee if you were an American. There's a regular joke about police officers in America that might
involve... It's donut.
It is. Where did it go? Kit Kat chocolate frosted donut.
Now you say the word donut.
It tastes
now
like,
I taste donut.
It tastes like a cheap chocolate ring donut.
It does taste like that.
It's really
that is crazy. I couldn't place it at first. Now you're saying it. It genuinely really does taste like
it
a chocolate.
It does.
That is insane.
I quite like that one.
Aren't these kind of Kit Kats are quite a big thing in Japan and they've got like every single flavour going, don't they?
Yeah, I think these are American ones. So I'm even afraid. America's in on the game of like random Kit Kat flavours.
Drink some drink to change, get the flavour gone.
Oh yeah, good idea. Now this one might be slight... Ooh, this one's dark. So there you go. We'll break that.
Okay, so it's got, I'm going to have mint in some way because it's green on the top.
Yeah, that might be a giveaway.
Going to be mint chocolate chip aero before even he did it again. I can't believe he can do it.
Just shoved it all in, mate. Oh, that's nice.
It tastes like an after eight. Is that what it's meant to be?
Oh. No, sorry. It is just mint dark chocolate. And that's all it is.
Yeah.
And that's really nice. The dark chocolate takes away from the sweetness of the mint, and the mint leaves a nice after flavour, which isn't overpowering and it's not so toothpastey.
It tastes like an after eight mint, but the mint is lowered.
Yeah, it's not as pungent as an after eight, and you've got the wafer, which you don't normally have.
That's a good chocolate. I would buy that.
I would. If that was in the UK, I would absolutely buy that. That's delicious.
It's not Orange Yorkie.
No, you're
right. Let's get that, but it has a good chocolate bar.
That would be a nice little snack in the lunchbox.
I don't know if I'm rating these because this is part of a game.
Saying that, don't forget. So, yeah, America's got that now, but don't forget, back in like the 90s and early 2000s, we had Kit Kat, we had orange Kit Kat, and we did have mint Kit Kat.
Yeah.
So we did have those and they just disappeared.
It's leaving that minty flavour in my mouth.
Right. Final one. Oh no. The tip came
off. Happy with these. I'm trying not to look at the name of the packet.
Oh no, this one's a bit fucked. Right. So let's...
Oh, well, that's a funky looking one.
This is a very funky looking one.
Okay, just by looking at it.
This is the one that I'm a little bit worried about.
It's going to be either ice cream or birthday cake, just by looking at it.
Oh, wow. Straight away. Even that little bit I've had, I know what that is. And yes, I already know what it is, but it's nowhere near nice. It's actually quite foul.
Yeah, it tastes like those little chocolates that you get at the cinema. Those little white...
Jazzies.
With a dip.
You're right. There is definitely a jazzy quality about that. I think jazzies are the white ones.
Is it maybe like a fairy cake or something?
Very, very close. That is birthday
cake. It was
cake.
Birthday cake, like I said, birthday cake. Doesn't taste like a birthday cake. Just tastes like buttercream icing.
Yeah, it's buttercream. There's a little bit. I would say there's a little bit of a spongy flavour, but I would say it's actually overpowered by the white chocolate and the sprinkles in it. That's my least favourite.
If I'm tiering them, the mint one is my favourite one.
Top tier, yep.
Then the
mid-tier.
Mid-tier is the donut. And then that one. But if I'm going to go on the one that tastes the most interesting, it's the donut one.
Yeah, because...
I'm most impressed by the donut one, but preferred the taste of the mint.
Yeah, the mint one, it's nothing complex. It's mint dark chocolate with wave. It's nice. It's always going to work if you like mint. The donut one... has a complete... Oh, it sounds so rubbish going into this depth about a fucking Kit Kat, but it's got a complexity to the flavour. So you've got the texture, you've got the flavour of not just chocolate, but the whole donut thing. And it just slowly seeps in as well. You take that first bite and it's like, oh, there's definitely chocolate, but what else is there? And you can't help but then thinking, what does this remind me of? And eventually you do hit on it. You do go, actually, you know what? This is a donut.
Mm. Yeah. So as soon as you said donut, I was like, it's like something clicked in my brain. It's like, yeah, you're eating a donut.
Mm, exactly.
It's that much like it.
Right. I really enjoyed those. As I said, birthday cake one, not so much.
Yeah, it's left a funny taste in my mouth, the birthday cake one. I'm not happy with that.
Mm, okay, well, for £2.99, you need to be happy. They were £2.99 each.
Fuck me, were they?
Yeah, it's disgusting.
Where'd you get them from?
The new Mr. Sims, which are always been a rip-off. Mm. I mean, don't get me wrong. I know they're a nice shop, but fuck me, they're a rip-off. All the American sweet shops are. Anywhere that sells American sweets, except for the likes of Tesco and Sainsbury's, who are fairly reasonable, are a piss take on their pricing. There's no need for them to be, but they are. Mm. And it's because they can get away with it. And honestly, if I didn't just want to do them as that little kind of taste test, I wouldn't go and buy them. I wouldn't go and buy those again. But if I see them suddenly for cheap, or someone wants to send them to us from America or Japan because they've been there on holiday, brilliant. I mean, my colleague is out at South Africa at the moment. And he's going to be bringing us back something called Nestle Mint Crisps, if he can get hold of them.
Oh, I like the sound of that.
They are amazing. If you look at a picture of them, they're basically chocolate on the outside, and they've got this green mint crystal inside.
We used to grow mint in the front garden, and it's such a strong smell, mint. You don't have to go down to it to smell it. I can't remember. We had to get rid of it because we redid all the front, and it was one of the ones that went and I never replanted. But that was so nice because it got so big to walk into our front and you just get this woof of mint. Beautiful.
Nice. Okay, which drink do we do first? Lemon or mango?
Get the mango one out of the way because I know it.
Okie dokie. We're not going to bother raising the Kit Kats, I don't think.
Nah,
because they're
not
something
part of the
that
game.
We're ever going to be able to get over here.
Part
so
of the game. Doesn't count.
There's no point because you're not going to be able to get them here.
You don't need much of this.
Unless you want to pay large sums of money, you're probably not going to buy them yourself.
Now, I'm going to before you have any, this smells like mango. It tastes like mango. But there is an aftertaste to it. Is this cold?
No.
You're not going to get a good experience. This cold is nice.
Right, okay.
Warm.
It's one of those instances.
You've got to drink a mango tango.
Yeah.
Quickly.
Interesting.
If you let it sit like I've let this Coke sit.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to have a good time with this mango tango.
You're not going to have a good time.
I want that to be on the table right now. If you would like this a lot better if it was cold.
Okay. Right. First of all, it looks like the piss of someone who's highly dehydrated.
Yeah, it's fluorescent.
With a slight bit of cloudiness, which is kidney shutdown. So, fair enough. The smell, absolutely mango. Overpoweringly. Oh, my God, I can't speak.
Overpowering. Borderline chemical.
Yeah.
It's right on the cusp of being mango or chemical mango.
This smells just like the Mango Monster Ultra, which I quite like.
It smells like Mbongo.
Mbongo.
Yeah, they drink that in the Congo.
Do they? Never knew that. We've both gone for our swig at the same time, and
that Kit Kat's not done it justice.
You know what? I don't mind that. I've only had a small amount, but that's all right aftertaste.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, wow. That comes in, doesn't it?
Now, that aftertaste is not so bad when it's cold.
So, yeah, which is fair enough. Flavours are different when something's cold versus warm. So, you see, that initial flavour, yeah, definitely. Mango, straight out. Boom.
So, this has just come out. And they had it in Sainsbury's, and there was little testers for everyone. And we liked the tester, and it was like discounted, and you got money off. So for 8 cans, I paid £3.
Yeah.
So for 8 cans, was only a little bit more than those Kit Kats were each.
Jeez.
And
rub it in, why don't you?
Yeah. I like the cans cold. The wife likes cans not cold. She lives in the cupboard, and then I just always have 2 in there, and I'll replenish the fridge. Well, she didn't have any warm. We always shared one from the fridge. So there was only one time I think I had a whole can to myself and it sat. And that's when I realised they're not nice when they've sat.
No, I was going to say, I'm starting to get a bit of... the best way is... You know,
for fake vomit flavored sweets, they do Parmesan apparently. So if you go into it knowing that actually that's Parmesan, it doesn't taste like vomit, obviously, because it's Parmesan cheese. But often they use Parmesan cheese or fake Parmesan cheese flavor to be the vomit ones. Mm-hmm. And if you think it's vomit, it tastes like vomit.
Yeah.
I'm kind of getting that sort of vomity aftertaste with it. It's
that's what I mean.
There's something not right there.
They were so close with this. It's for being a really good drink, but they just something's not gone right with it.
Well, I can tell you what's not right with it.
The word sugar-free underneath the mango.
It's apple and mango.
Where does
read
it
the back
that?
Of the can. Carbonated sugar-free apple and mango.
They put apple in a lot of stuff because I just think when it's actual proper fruit juices, they do a lot of apple because it just adds more
liquid.
It's
a bulk.
Yeah.
It's a bulking agent.
I mean, why they'd put it in this as a flavouring.
I mean, what was the J2O was apple and mango, wasn't it? The yellow one.
Yeah, that's lovely though.
Yeah, but...
Interesting. This is a Tango Mango. Fun fact, in this country, when you put ingredients on, they're in the order of what's the most first.
Yeah.
Apple is first.
Well, there you go.
It's 4% apple and 1% mango.
Well, there's your... I think that's where it is.
Yeah.
That's what's gone wrong. I think the numbers are off. If that was 2% and 2%, that might work.
I mean, I eat a lot of mangoes, and yeah, you can't really juice a mango. You know, you've got to get the flavour from some physicality of a mango. So that's
and mangoes
what the
are
apple,
expensive.
Yeah, and that's where the apple is.
Right, fair enough.
It's a shame because these are when they're cold, they're nice, but you've got to drink it quick, as I said.
Yeah, I would say that's...
And I'm not a quick drinker. I drink things really slow.
Fair enough. I would say that's a two-point disappointing climax.
Yeah, it's...
Starts off good, but disappoints everyone in the end.
2.4 is the lowest, isn't it? 6 is the highest. It just creeps into 3 because I've had it cold.
Fair enough.
So it's a three-point disappointment.
I mean, I'm not going to waste it. As it's sugar-free and I'm on the diet, I'll take that home with me and I'll drink it on the way home. Yeah. So we're not wasting it.
Well, should I put it in the fridge now?
Yeah, go on then. Why not?
Dun, 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 dun.
Rob's now walking to the fridge. Yeah, he's standing up. He's picked up the can. He's walking towards... This is highly interesting shit for the podcast. Wow. He's now at the fridge. The door's open. He's got 15 Lurpaks in there.
It's so like it's just,
must be nice.
I've got the crystal. Let me out the room. What was that guy's name?
Oh, Richard O'Brien.
Yeah. Richard, let me out.
Right.
Stop the clock.
Stop. Yeah. Let me out. Right, okay. Lemon Coca-Cola.
I'm looking forward to this one.
So not lemon Coca-Cola like Cheap Show did. We're doing things differently to them. This is lemon Coca-Cola zero sugar.
Because we can't get
it. It literally just so happened that you bought this for me last week, and then last week's episode, they tasted lemon Coca-Cola. It completely disconnected.
Yeah,
from that
I haven't, because I'm so behind all of them. So, you know, if I'd listened to that, I wouldn't have brought it. I would have brought it for myself just to try. I wouldn't have brought it on the show.
Now, it's quite a faint colour, isn't it? That's not. I'm pouring it, it looked faint, but obviously.
No, you know, it's because we've got the orange here.
Possibly. I think...
Oh, you can smell it.
Oh, wow, yeah. Straight away, a citrusy smell. Now, you can't really fuck lemon up.
Oh, I'm going to taste a Coke Zero that's next to me, a normal one, and then this.
I'm going
to have a
good
idea
my mouth
what the
out with some Monster.
Is.
Right. I'm going to let Rob go first. So he's had his Coke Zero. And now he's... Oh, very, very, very gentle tasting there.
That tastes... Like, I've been at the pub,
yeah.
And I'm having a Coke, and there's a lemon
now.
In it.
Oh, nice. Okay. Oh, wow. As you kind of bring it to your face and you're drinking it, straight away you're hit with that lemon smell, like you are when there's a big chunk of lemon in your drink.
That has taken me back to being a kid at the Three Hammers, when we weren't allowed in the bar.
Yes, you had to sit outside.
Sit outside, and we'd all play in the big bushes before they cut them all down.
Bastards. Yeah. No, that's really pleasant because you get a really strong aroma of lemon, but then it's in your mouth, and it's not overpowering. There's still the Coke flavour, which, as I say, I'm starting to enjoy Coke Zero more, weirdly.
that lemon flavour to it, it's just right.
Now, it is doing something to my teeth.
Yeah, mine feel a little bit furry.
Mm-hmm. Which isn't a normal thing for zero stuff.
True.
So it must be something to do with the lemon flavouring.
It could be, yeah. It could just be the natural flavouring of it, I guess. But
I'm impressed. That's a really nice drink.
That is a really nice drink. And I bet, ice cold, I bet that's really nice.
Now, it's some ice.
My worry about it is, and I don't know if you... This is kind of my worry with Coke Zero full stop. If I'm going to drink Coke Zero mm-hmm. in a pub or in a restaurant, I will have it out of the machine. I will ask for it with no ice.
Mm-hmm.
Because to me, Coke Zero doesn't have that strong... syrupy flavor you get from standard Coca-Cola. Think yeah. McDonald's Coca-Cola from yep. the machine and how delicious it is mm-hmm. because it gets that extra squirt of syrup in it.
Yep.
Coke Zero to me, as nice as I'm finding it, just tastes thinner. Yeah. And I feel that if you have ice in it and you then don't drink it quick enough, it's going to water it down more. And I think with this Coca-Cola Lemon Zero Lemon, I'm getting that more. So I'm getting the taste of Coke with that little bit of lemon, which is just right for me. But I feel if I put ice in that, I'm going to lose the flavour completely.
Yeah, I can see where you're coming from.
So that out of the fridge, I bet would be really nice. Mm-hmm. With ice, I'd have to drink it quick, I think.
Yeah.
But they also say, and maybe we should test this one day, drinking through a straw gives you more flavour.
Oh, really?
Whether or not it's true, we'll find out. We'll do that test one day, maybe. But that, I'm going to say that's a 4 point, I'm satisfied.
I'm going higher. That, for me, that's a 5 point, the good old days.
Fair enough.
I'm really happy with that. What a nice drink.
No, I
from our corporate overlords at the yeah. Nestle company, whoever the hell owns Coca-Cola.
Coca-Cola owns Coca-Cola. It's Coca-Cola, yeah. Is it? Just talking about the old days. I've got some sad news, Rob.
What?
Greenwood Park, the big slide on the hill.
Mm?
They're getting rid of it.
Why?
They're replacing it with what looks like a really cool slide. A big plastic one that does zigzags down.
Oh, to give everyone whiplash?
Probably, but probably also to stop people taking bikes down it and sledges down it.
Oh, like yeah, we used to do all snow. Kinds of shit like that. But, did you dislocate Telfer's shoulder once or did something to his ribs, didn't you? Do you remember we met up at like 2 o'clock in the morning?
Oh, God, yeah. I think we did the sledge down the...
We were adults, by the way.
Yeah, we literally finished in the pub. We closed early because the road wasn't moving. No yeah. one was in the pub, so we all went down the park. And I think we sled down the slide.
Yeah, we did, yeah.
And it was ended in pain. But... yeah, no, that big slide, which is literally the last thing of my childhood in that park, is going. I got a little bit sad about it, I'll be honest.
Oh, I'm going to tell my dad that. Yeah.
As they used to have two forts in there, they had a really big wooden chunky fort and then a littler one to the left. They're gone. The lose your teeth springy animals are gone and they've just got these much firmer springy ones, which just aren't as good. The two little bridges that bridged the gaps mm-hmm. up the hill are gone. Literally, that slide is the... Oh, and the swings. The swings are still fairly original, but...
I just say, I'm not a Mr. Health and Safety Gone Mad kind of guy. But what I will say is the new stuff they put out is crazy. Like, the stuff they've got at Greenwood Park and at Gade Bridge.
Yeah, so the
Greenwood I look Park- at it and I think, oh my God, a kid is going to break his arm on
yeah,
this.
I look... Kay scares the shit out of me. She goes on that giant spider pyramid thing, which is just lots of ropes and they can climb up to, and she just shoots up to the top, which is like 30 foot up in the sky. And she just stands there holding on, waving, going, "Hi, Tom." It's like, if she falls, I'm sure she's going to like break bones or her neck.
And like the weird slide things they have that are just metal poles. Have you seen those? They're
yeah,
just and, two slanty
and they put,
poles.
Yeah, yeah. And they put their arms over and their legs over. So the poles on the left and right are going under their mm-hmm. armpits and under their knees. And they just slide down like that. And it's like, you screw up. You're going to fall backwards and snap your neck.
There's a little park at Keensfield down the road.
Yeah.
They have got a toddler climbing frame thing. Like, it's for T's age. With one of those from the top highest point. And I'm like, Miranda and I were looking at it like, what are you meant to do with this? We don't have any understanding. It's just a slanted, two slanted poles. We couldn't understand what you meant to do with it. And obviously Teden, though, and he's too small. But yeah. I eventually saw a kid using it. I'm like, oh, that makes sense. He's not doing that.
Yeah, no, exactly. I literally had no idea what they were. And all I heard from Kay was, Tom, look at me do this. And she did it. And I'm just sat there. I was like, I'm not going to tell you off. I'm not going to say you can't do it because I can't be that sort of dad. But oh my God, I'm shitting myself at the moment. Yeah. This is so uncomfortable to watch.
It's such a battle to not be a helicopter parent. Like a lot of the times Miranda laughs at me because I go, nope. And I just turn around and walk off and say, if I can't see it, it's not happening.
And the thing is, they're never good padding underneath those things.
Oh, there's nothing.
It's just... Oh,
it's chips. It's like bark and chips and stuff.
Yeah. But as I
and
say...
hypodermic needles.
Oh, no. As I say, Greenwood Park, the slide's going.
What a shame.
I mean, don't get me wrong. They used to play a park, do you know where West Avenue is in Killigrew Junior School? There was a park there. Mm-hmm. Well, still is. And that's pretty much nothing original there. The monkey bars on that, kids used to walk across the top of them, drop down, and literally it was the width of their arm. So they drop down, land on their armpits and snap their shoulders. Oh. So there was all that sort of thing. But they had they've still got the tooth chipper horse, and everyone will know mm-hmm. of a certain age what that is.
Yeah.
You can Google it. But they used to have a slide that was like at least 15 foot up. No safety railings or anything. You climbed up the steps. Again, no railings, so climbed up, sat at the top. If you fell off that, you'd be dead.
Yeah, there's some scary stuff.
And we used to use that all the time.
There was a park across the dual carriageway from my parents' road. Do you remember? That's gone. I think it's housing now, I think.
Has that gone?
I think it's housing now.
Fun story for you, painful story for me.
Mm-hmm.
Their swings would not pass health and safety when they were there.
No.
So most people will think of a swing, yeah? You sit on it, you've got the rubber seat, then you've got the two chains come down, and then the two chains turn into an upside down Y, so connect at the front and the back. The swings there were just a single chain down to the rubber, and that was it.
Mm-hmm.
So if you didn't have good balance,
you were off.
You fell backwards or forwards. Really, really fun fact, it was also just solid concrete, It was playground. You know, it looked like pebbles, but just one big mass, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
That was what was below it. No padding, no nothing like that, just solid concrete. And I remember me and Mum had gone to Burston's, had a walk round because it was a nice sunny day, summer, and I fell off backwards while swinging.
Your head?
And from the back of my neck down to my arse, my back was just one giant graze that bled through the shirt. It was... I remember being in agony and Mum sitting me in the bath and rinsing it off in hot water and just crying my eyes out.
Dude.
Because my entire back was just this one big graze. Oh.
Oh, dude.
God, I miss those days and that we can't put our kids through that.
I rate that a 2-point painful. I've got... Well, I'd say hi. We've got some... wonderful news for everybody.
We do. We have some big news.
And I'm right now going to freestyle a intro for this section. And it's going to go, Karen.
Blimmin' typical. The moment I want to start recording and there's a man outside with one of those leaf blower hoovers.
Sorry,
Karen, we're not editing this. No. Like, is that the most pointless job on the planet or what?
It's pretty pointless.
Blowing leaves around. Honest to goodness.
He needs a wheelie chair so he can blow himself around.
Good morrow, Studio Channel 84 listeners. You may or may not recognise my voice as the fair Admiral Chesters. But as you know, I have been adopted and promoted by Tom and Rob. So I'm here to introduce myself. You are hereby now ordered to call me Super Patron Saint, Conductor of Mischief and Serenity, Lord of Studio Channel 84, Karen Chesters, first of her name. Thanks, Tom and Rob, for having me. This may be your biggest mistake yet. Love you.
Love you too, Karen. Yes, now, just to make the...
What does that mean?
Just to make this really short, because this has been a fucking long episode anyway. Karen has been a supporter since day one, and she is just beyond lovely. She... smashes home the social medias for us. She's always there giving us kind of feedback and supporting us. And honestly, I know we've got a lot of listeners that do that, but
Karen has just gone the extra mile.
There's a consistency and perfection to Karen's performances every week.
Yeah, absolutely. So in this case, we basically said to her, be part of Studio Channel 84. So she'll be doing articles on the webpage. She's going to occasionally, hopefully, join the podcast to do a little bit with us if we ever need to or she wants to. But yeah, there's no money involved, so don't get jealous. We're poor. We can't afford it. We can't even give her a real email address. But if you do want to email her, it's patronsaint@channel84.co.uk, which goes to her personal email, and then one of us will reply for her, so you don't know what her real email is.
She can then tell us, and she'll dictate to us. So really, we're working for Karen now.
Oh, shit. Yeah, I didn't think about that one.
She'll dictate, and we write it down.
But yeah, she's going to be part of the team.
Yeah,
we're going to run ideas past her. She's going to give us ideas. She's been brilliant. Would never change her at all, ever. So welcome aboard, Karen.
Yeah, I do enjoy that whenever I do, particularly an Untitled Trek kind of episode announcement post, hers are always well more well-written, serious, kind of like, this is how you're meant to do it, Rob.
Yeah.
Yeah, not my ones where I'm actually promoting other people's podcasts in our own one.
Yeah, absolutely. We promote our own podcast. Karen comes along and then corrects it and does it properly for us.
Yeah.
We love her for it.
From my perspective of it, it's kind of, if you talk to us about the show, obviously talking to us, and if you're now talking to Karen about the show, you're talking to us too. That's the kind of perspective of it I have. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely.
That's it, really.
Definitely. And I've just had a brilliant idea. So we're at the end of the episode. Thank you very much for listening to another God knows how many minutes of chaos of us clucking like chickens, talking about films and eating Kit Kats. Today. It's been a lot of fun. If you want to follow us, head over to channel84.co.uk where all our social media links are. You can also find all the links for both podcasts we do, the Channel 84 Variety Show, which you're listening to now, as well as the Untitled Trek Show, which is our Star Trek spin-off podcast, which we have a lot of fun with. So you can find all our social media there. You can also find our articles that we've written on there. I'm actually writing one at the moment, which has been long in the making, because last time we posted was November last year.
after I posted a post saying we're going to be doing more posts.
Yeah, it's got busy, because bear in mind, at that point we were only doing one podcast and it was every 2 weeks.
And then we had the two Christmas specials, which took all of our December up.
So we are catching up with ourselves. The site has been updated, finally, like I said, a long time ago. So that's all good. Now, if you want to email us, you can email podcasts, that's plural, at channel84.co.uk. That comes to Rob and me. You can email tj@channel84.co.uk if you want to just speak to me. If you want to speak to just Rob, it's rob@channel84.co.uk. If you wish to speak to Karen, the patron saint, you can send it to patronsaint@channel84.co.uk. And if you have a complaint, direct it to Karen.
Yeah.
Because me and Rob don't want to deal with it.
Because I don't care.
So again, if you have a complaint, patronsaint@channel84.co.uk, and she'll decide if we need to hear about it.
And she'll move it to the recycle bin.
Boom. Otherwise, thank you very much for listening. It's been great fun as always. Rob, thank you so much for my gorgeous stuff. I'm really, really looking forward to reading the book and getting that t-shirt washed so I can wear it.
Yeah.
I will see you in 2 weeks' time.
Thank you for having me, but you're in my house, so fuck off.
Yeah, that's true. And there is no song at the end of this one. Tenergy. You can listen to it on repeat as it's got its own dedicated episode now.
Yeah. Put it as your ringtone.
Then review us. Give us some Tenergy.
Love you.
Love you.
Thank you for listening to the Channel 84 Variety Show. This station is now shutting down and will be back in 2 weeks. Excelsior.